Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
We are in heady times in geopolitical terms. Russia has foreign soldiers in its territory for the first time since 1944, and certainly since it invaded Ukraine 2.5 years ago. A regional war looms in the Middle East, and the world holds its breath to see who will be in the White House next year. All of these issues impact the economy and companies, and so let's discuss some of them with Monica Bickauskaita, with the Key Elements Group, who is also with the German Marshall Fund. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Monica, can we start with Ukraine and Russia? Do you think the audacious mini invasion of the Kursk region in Russia will change anything or the trajectory of the war?
Yeah, of course. We think that Ukraine's incursion into Russia's Kursk region has been an unexpected development in the war, and it is changing the dynamics. So it has showed that the war in Ukraine and Ukraine itself is not in a stalemate. And now we can see that Ukraine can strike in a blitzkrieg attack in Russia as well. And that has been a really important development. So this is the type of operation that, of course, was planned for a long time. And it is in a way quite risky, because if Ukrainians can be successful and they can hold and control this territory, it can potentially help in potential peace negotiations later on with Russia. However, if Ukraine is not successful in holding this territory or advancing, then Ukraine will pay a high price in human loss and capital loss, because Ukraine now has their best teams on the ground in Russia. And if those are lost, then of course this will hinder the resources that Ukraine has. Another important aspect that I would like to mention is the fact that right now we see that Ukraine is no longer following red lines that were before constraining them by the West, where they were established by the West. But now we see that Ukraine is advancing into Russia for the first time, and that is a very important development. So yes, it is changing the trajectory quite a bit.
Does it weaken Putin?
So for Putin, of course, this was unexpected as well, and this could be seen as intelligence failure, because Putin was not expecting this. And for Putin, of course, this looks bad at home, because so far the Russian population has been accepting the war and has been supporting the war against Ukraine. However, now the Russian population is seeing that the war is coming closer to them. We have seen 200,000 people being evacuated from these territories in Russia. So of course, domestically, this doesn't look good for him at all. Internationally as well, this has shown that Russia may not be as mighty as it would like to think that it is.
Yeah, amazingly, Ukraine still carries Russian oil through its territories to Eastern Europe, especially to Hungary and Slovakia. That contract ends soon. What will happen, do you think?
Yes, so in fact, this contract is ending end of the year, and some of the European countries are more concerned than the others. However, what we have seen with the war is the fact that Europe has a dependency on Russia and gas, and it is trying to move away from it. And the US and Qatar actually are very important players in this, because US and Qatar have been exporting LNG to Europe, and the LNG will be increasing every year. And the goal is to limit the Russian dependency as much as we can. The US have been the largest supplier already of liquefied natural gas to Europe in 2023. And for three consecutive years, EU and UK have been the main receivers of the LNG from the US. So I think that what it shows is that Europe is trying to move away from Russia and finding other alternative routes. And given the importance of US geopolitical importance as well, this just works much better than being reliant of Russian gas in the first place. So the war has exposed these weaknesses that Europe has, and now it's time to fix them from different angles, not only, you know, militarily, but also for gas reliance. It's very important that this problem is solved.
Now, last night it was, of course, the DNC, and it continues this week, the Democratic National Congress. Donald Trump is neck and neck with Kamala Harris in the polls. He's no fan of NATO or of the EU. Are European capitals Trump-proofing their economies just in case he wins?
So in a way, yes. However, we have to remember that the approach towards Trump is changing slightly, even from Ukraine. We have seen very recently a statement from the head of Zelensky's administration saying that he understands that the U.S. would still support Ukraine even if Trump was to win the election, because basically what they were saying is that Trump understands what this war is about. And regardless of what he said maybe in the past and the peace plan that he suggested before, Trump would go into conversation with Ukraine and Ukraine would be considered much more than maybe originally it was thought. So while Europe is preparing for any possible option, we can see that yes, Europe is willing to talk to Trump and Ukraine is changing their rhetoric a little bit towards that as well. So we think that even if Trump is elected, there is still a chance that potential agreement can be made between Russia and Ukraine, not necessarily on Putin's terms.
Trump has promised to impose major tariffs on many countries, especially China, but also including allies in the European Union, which will affect Irish companies as well. Won't those tariffs provoke some sort of trade retaliation by Brussels?
It is possible because Trump, as you know, as you rightfully mentioned, is leaning towards tariff war with China primarily, but with other countries as well. However, in the past, we have seen that there are exceptions for certain countries, for certain types of companies. So I think that the agreements can be made. However, Europe will have to have its end of the deal fulfilled as well, because Trump is often using these things in order to provoke other types of responses. For example, we know that with NATO, Trump has said multiple times that Europe has to pay for its defense and Europe has to increase its spending in defense spending. And that is a very important point. So on one hand, Europe is concerned, but on the other, Europe might be awakened to certain realities and certain aspects of their economy that they need to improve and invest in more. So, this is kind of double-edged sword, and we can see that Europe can improve from this as well.
Achu, Monica. That is Monica Bichauskaiska, a former, and she was with the German Marshall Fund. She's now with the Key Elements Group.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.